Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Seattle is Ron Carucci. Ron is a co-founder and managing partner of Navalent and the author of the book, To Be Honest, which will be published in May 2021. Ron, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Adam, what a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Now, let's start big picture. What led you to the study on honesty that you did, and can you give us an overview of it?
Yeah. Well, I think for so long, those in the ethics and compliance community have long been barraged with the Wells Fargo stories, the Toronto stories, the Volkswagen stories, just the ones that break our hearts and trying to get at root causes of what could possibly cause these things. And, these investigations always seem to come down to a few bad apples or some isolated events. And I thought, gosh, I don't really believe that. I believe that there are systemic forces in the water. 5,000 people didn't wake up at Wells Fargo all on the same day and say, hey, here's an idea for generating revenue. So I wanted to understand under what conditions created by organizations would people actually tell the truth, behave fairly, and serve a greater purpose? And under what conditions would they lie, cheat, and be self-interested? I had to believe that there were predictable forces that could tell us that. And if there were, could we shape them more proactively? So we had 3,200 interviews over a 15-year period that we analyzed using some really sophisticated AI technology and IBM Watson to understand, were there factors that could give us correlations to certain kinds of conditions, predicting whether or not people would be predisposed, otherwise honest people especially, predisposed to going to the dark side. And indeed, after all those studies and sort of validating that research with some great input from some wonderful thought leaders and social psychologists and behavioral scientists, we did indeed find that there are four we report in the book, six conditions in which organizations have significant influence over whether or not people will tell the truth, behave fairly, and serve a greater good. Truth, justice, and purpose are the definition of honesty. It's no longer just not being a liar. Honesty is defined in this book as say the right thing, do the right thing, and say and do the right thing for the right reason.
So let's talk about those four factors. The first one that you found was clear identity, as you called it. What does clear identity mean?
So all of our organizations have declarations we make about ourselves. We have purpose statements, we have mission statements, we have value statements. It turns out that, whether you intended for it to be cosmetic wall art or screensaver art, or you actually intended for it to be the embodiment of your organization, turns out people hold you accountable for it either way. Here's the problem. The inherent promises of those statements have to be kept. And so if your words and actions match in the eyes of your employees and in the eyes of your other stakeholders, if in other words you are who you say you are three times more likely to have people tell the truth, behave fairly, and serve a greater good. But if you have institutionalized duplicity, meaning you say these things about yourself but your actions belie those things, and you've told the organization now it is okay here to say one thing and do another because that's what we do, and once you've given people permission to not live true to the words, because that's what you do, and your mission statement and value statements elicit nothing but eye rolling, you are now three times more likely to have people lie, cheat, and be self-interested. So it's a significant factor.
Yeah, well, three times is quite the factor there. That's I don't think people would fully grasp. I mean, we understand the idea that if you're telling one thing and doing another, it's bad. But that degree is really fascinating. Now, the second factor you identified is accountability. That's a factor that I think tends to get misused, misunderstood. It too often ends up meaning somebody has to be punished if something goes wrong, which I think is a misinterpretation. Am I right? What do you mean?
You're absolutely right, Adam. That is the common interpretation of accountability. And that is the problem, right? Our accountability systems have become demeaning, demoralizing, and punitive. They're not restorative. They're not dignifying. You've never heard somebody come to you and say, well, I can't wait for my performance review.
No.
And the real problem is that in today's workplace, Adam, in a knowledge economy, our individual remits are no longer how many widgets we made or how much production or how many things we filed or claimed or processed. Far more these days, my remit to you is my analysis, my idea, my creativity, my ingenuity. Today, the contribution and the contributor are more fused than ever. You can't say it's not personal. Though the problem is our accountability systems to assess those contributions are, in the spirit of being fair, we try to neutralize it and sameness, right? So it used to be that sameness equaled fairness. Now the problem is when you treat everybody the same, it's demeaning. It's demoralizing. It's not acknowledging of the contribution as a reflection of that contributor. And so now we put people in forced categories. We label them. And when the minute somebody declares that the contribution they made was unfairly assessed, and they use the word unfair, and you know that's a trigger word for this community, the stage is set. When I don't feel seen and known for who I am and what I do, you are now four times more likely to have people lie, cheat, and behave self-interestedly, because now I have to embellish my accomplishments, hide my mistakes, and compete with somebody else you're comparing me to.
Yeah, which
the process that should be the most dignifying and honoring of all processes in our organizations has become the one people most resent and wince at.
Yeah, and it's a big loss, both in terms of the potential creator for cheating, but you know, if people can't own up to mistakes or just things that don't work out without fear, you lose the opportunity to learn from them.
When the playing field is unlevel in accountability, meaning I don't believe that I have the same chances of success as anybody else, no matter how I show up, now you have an unjust accountability system. So the two ingredients we have to reinsert are justice and dignity back into our accountability systems.
Well, dignity is not often discussed, but it's very important because, you know, people need to feel that they're worthwhile and valued, and we do owe each other that respect. Now, the third area you address is governance. Tell us what you see as crucial there for preventing lies, cheating, and everything else in the workplace.
So we all use the word transparency like it's, you know, like it's a, you know, just another adjective. But the reality is, if what happened, and we're not talking about corporate governance here, we're talking about organizational governance. So the process and system by which we make decisions, allocate resources, set priorities, you know, the meeting proliferation we have. If when I walk into that room to participate in a decision, to contribute to a problem, to help advance a strategy, and what happens in that room is genuine, transparent, and the data that's being presented is reliable. In other words, I can trust the choice-making apparatus here. You're now 3.5 times more likely to have people tell the truth, behave fairly, and serve a greater good. But if I walk into that room and it's nothing but orchestrated theater, meaning the decision was already made, or you're trying to make it look like I'm included, but I'm not, or the data is being spun or misrepresented, or the only way for me to get good data is to go in the back channel underground. And what happens in that room is confusing, divisive, unreliable. Now you're 3.5 times more likely to have people lie and embellish and cheat.
Yeah. And it's very phony feeling when you walk into one of those meetings. And I think that sends an implicit message to people too.
Now, unquestionably, Adam, and I love asking audiences, how many of you have ever gone into a meeting under the guise of making a decision or solving a problem only to realize within seconds it was all a ruse? The decision was already made before you got there. And the goal of the meeting was to actually make it look like it was your idea. More than half the hands in the room always go up, right? So this is not a mysterious phenomenon.
No, I think we've all been through that far too many times. Now, finally, you identify cross-functional relationships, which are obviously important, you know, just not from just an integrity standpoint, but for a success and business standpoint. How should they be developed and work, did you find?
Well, so this was probably one of the biggest surprise findings in the research for us, Adam. You know, any value that an organization creates is going to be at a seam. It's not going to be in any one function. It's going to be across the seams, across the boundaries. You know, at the intersection of sales and marketing is where your service experience is. At the intersection of marketing, R&D, and supply chain is where innovation happens, right? So the things that are most competitive assets happen across borders. But we all know how difficult it is to coordinate across those borders. Sometimes our organizations are built for rivalry. And at those seams, when you fragment the organization, you fragment the truth. So now we have dueling truths, right? So which means that our goal is no longer to find a single source of truth. The goal is for me to be right and you to be wrong. And it's not that there's conflict there, it's that it's unresolved conflict. The tensions at those seams are healthy. The tensions at those seams, well resolved, lead to breakthroughs and great problem solving. But when they remain unresolved and unaddressed, you are six times more likely to have people lie and cheat, because the tribalism that sets in, the sort of the we versus they mentality that sets in, becomes aggressive, and proving somebody else wrong becomes far more of the goal than getting something done. But if you stitch those seams well, if you make a coherent organization at which people at the borders that meet are expected to collaborate, are given the tools and processes to enable them to collaborate, now you're six times more likely to have people serve a greater good and tell the truth. The interesting thing about, and probably the most terrifying part of these stats, Adam, is that they're cumulative. So if you do all four of those things well, you are 16 times more likely to have people tell the truth and behave fairly and serve a greater good, 16 times. But if you don't, and somehow you are one of the lucky ones that actually sucks at all four of them, now you're 16 times more likely to be on the front page headline of a newspaper story you never wanted to be in.
Yeah, which obviously nobody wants to be in at all. And I think as you go through this, I mean, bottom line is the more that you're open, the more that you're willing to say what's on your mind, listen to others, not be defensive, the better off you and your organization are. It sounds easy, but it's difficult. And as you pointed out, there's some irrational things like tribalism that takes over. I think it's one of the reasons why whistleblowers, even those who just report internally, have such a difficult time, because they're going after the perceived as refuting the group. But it's all good advice for us to think about as we go about our day to day. Well, Ron, thank you for sharing these insights with us and the world. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.